T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Commission Chairman David Dennis. Welcome to Issues 2019. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
You were elected to serve on the commission in 2016, I believe.
Correct.
Representing District 3. Uh-huh. What is District 3? What's the geographic area on District 3?
Well, it's pretty well the entire western half of Sedgwick County. Sedgwick County is a little over 900 square miles, and I have 450 of them.
And you have several small cities in that area, too.
That's correct.
Well, how are you enjoying the job? Is it what you thought it would be?
It is definitely a full-time job. I've served now. This is my second year as the chairman, so that requires a little bit more effort for the different things that we do.
Any surprises in your first 2 years?
Not really. I was prepared for it.
Were you? Okay. That seems unusual. But when we talk about the chairmanship, that's kind of it's a traveling gavel, isn't it? It pretty well circulates.
It does. It circulates among all five of the different commissioners. But we've had a little bit of a turnover, so they elected me for a second year in a row.
Oh, okay. Now, can you give us a little background, like where you're from and your education and your work experience before you became a Sedgwick County Commissioner?
Certainly. I was born and raised in Great Bend, Kansas. I married my high school sweetheart. We have two children. One is a teacher at Northwest High School, and the other is a principal up in Nebraska. I enlisted in the Air Force during the Vietnam War. Served 4 years enlisted, was then offered a commission. I served 25 years as an officer. Retired as a full colonel in 1997. After that, I taught at North High School for 11 years. I ran for the State Board of Education and was elected to that. I served as chairman of that for 2 years and then retired and then decided to run for county commission and was elected to that. And now I'm going on my third year.
So you're from Great Bend.
I'm from Great Bend.
My sister-in-law is from Great Bend.
Oh, very good.
My mother's is from a place called Roselle.
I know Roselle.
You know where that is?
Yes.
That's quite a town.
Yep. I had some friends in college from Roselle.
Not too big. And you say you taught at North High School. Did you ever have any of my kids? I only had two over there. What did you teach?
I taught business and computer studies. I was the chairman of the business department.
Okay. You probably didn't have either one of my kids then. I think they were mostly in the principal's office. Oh, great school, though, North.
It is a fantastic school.
Over the past several months, the violent deaths of three children locally have focused attention on the issue of child abuse and neglect. And now it's reported the Sedgwick County Commission will get involved, or you're thinking about that. Tell us about that that's going on now.
Well, we've been concerned about the violent death, as you said, of some of our children by people that should be caring for them. And what we found out from the last death is that if the police officer hadn't asked to look at the children, the second child would have died. So we got thinking, what can we do? Because we run 911. That's part of Sedgwick County. And thought, if there's some way that we can tell either the sheriff's officer or the police officer that's responding that DCF has been there before, and maybe they ought to do a well-child check at that time. So I brought it up to the folks from DCF and talked to them a little bit about it, and they said there are some databases that maybe we could get some information out of. And the only piece of information we really need is, has there been DCF contact at that address or with those individuals? And then we can notify the police officer or the sheriff's officer that's responding to that address or that individual, hey, just do a well baby check or well child check and see if everything's okay.
So would there be a pushback on that from the standpoint of privacy?
That's the biggest hurdle, is the privacy. But we're not asking for the files out of DCF. We just want one piece of information. Has there been contact? And if so, can we have that information so that we can notify the officers?
Talk a little bit about the dispatchers. We'll just sidestep here a little bit and talk about your Sedgwick County dispatchers, because they're kind of the front line on anything that goes on as far as crime and disasters and so forth. Tell us about that a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
We're very proud of our 911 system. We're a little undermanned right now, so if anyone would like a job, we do have openings with 911 currently. But they're the ones that respond and tell our first responders what needs to be done. They're our first line of individuals, and they've got a tremendous job. They have databases in front of them, computers available, so that they can make sure that they get the right agency dispatched to the right location.
Now, have you back to the topic of the child abuse and neglect, have you been getting any feedback from the public about that? Shock, anger? Have people been calling you saying, hey, you need to do something about this with these kids?
No, I haven't had any negative comments on it.
But I mean on the issue.
On the issue, absolutely.
Yeah,
the issue is something that I think the public is concerned about. We've had several recent deaths of young children at the hands of their parents or the people that should be guarding them. And I think the public is looking for some kind of an answer. And I don't know that the answer is to get a database from DCF or if there's something else. We need the smart people to take a look at it and find out how that we can identify whether or not that our officers need to have a well baby check.
But, you know, if it saved one life, it'd be worth it, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I've talked to the lieutenant governor about it, and he sounded as if they were interested. He said he's already actually talked to the governor. So hopefully we can get some people that are moving in the right direction. And again, I don't know if the solution that I came up with, along with the help of some experts, is the right solution, but something has got to be out there.
Sedgwick County government is involved in so many aspects of citizens' lives, and one of those areas is public health. We don't have a measles problem here, but can you share your views on preventing illness through immunization?
Absolutely. There's a lot of myth out there about immunizations and what they cause. We are very proud of our health department. We do give immunizations through our health department. We urge everyone to get the required immunizations because it not only protects them, it protects the rest of the public, especially the young babies that haven't had a chance to get those immunizations yet. So we urge everyone to be immunized against the diseases. As I watched the news conference from New York and saw the chairman of their commissioners standing up and explaining the problems that they had, I was very pleased that it wasn't me that was having to stand up in front of all that media and explain why that they had a huge measles outbreak.
Okay, New York's having a terrible time with it.
Absolutely.
And when you were a kid, did you get a polio shot?
Got a polio shot when I was a young kid.
Yeah, I remember lining up at the gym, and I hated shots, but that saved a lot of grief.
Remember the lines of people in iron lungs back then.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course, Sedgwick County Health leads the discussion on flu shots every year. Do you get a flu shot?
I get a flu shot, and actually there's a flu shot for people that are over 65, and I fit that category.
I've been getting one every year, and I've been doing pretty good. How about you?
Well, it started in the military. I got shots for everything in the military.
That's right. You should be immune to everything there is.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go back for just a little bit to staffing of 911. And that's a job that I don't think I would want to do. I could probably do it for about a minute and a half, and then I'd go crazy. But there are other staffing problems here, as you know, in the county. The detention center, the jail,
Absolutely.
Is one of them. Is there anything we can do about that other than make sure the pay scale is good and that we find the people? I mean, it's hard to find people sometimes.
Oh, we're always recruiting people for the detention deputies. That's one of the hardest positions to fill. We're somewhere around 60 to 65 people undermanned in that organization currently. So we have openings right now. If anyone wants to be a detention deputy, we are definitely hiring. We changed some of the pay scales last year, hoping that we can start recruiting more. But we're really just about one complete shift down. Yeah. So we're paying an awful lot of overtime right now to people because that is a job where we have to have people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Communities in a terrible situation, full employment, 3.8% employment. unemployment. And you say, that's a problem? Yes, it is a little bit of a problem, isn't it?
It's not only a problem for us. We have people hiring all over. And, you know, it's a great problem to be in. Recently, we contributed $7 million to Spirit to help build a new building out there, and they promised us 1,000 new jobs. What they delivered was 2,400 new jobs. Textron just announced the other day that they're hiring 1,000 more people. It's a great problem to have, but we need people, and we need to keep our graduates from our high schools and colleges right here in Wichita.
Yeah, and so there, we've got this low unemployment, we've got all these jobs out there, and we've got to find the people to fill them. And that was another point related to that. You were here, you've been in this community for a while. You saw what happened in 2008 when that recession hit. It hit this community pretty doggone hard, like a punch in the nose or something. Are we back yet? It seemed like we are if we can find enough people to work.
Right now I'm on several task forces that we're looking at how that we find people. In addition, we have to train them. So one of the great things that the Sedgwick County did several years ago before I came on was that they built NCAT, which is now WSU Tech. And they are running two or three shifts a day trying to train the workers for the aircraft industry right now. If we hadn't had the commissioners before me hadn't have had the foresight to build that facility, we would definitely be trying to find workers and how we're going to train them.
So that's a kind of a hot spot for the aircraft industry then, and getting the workers through there.
Absolutely. That was a great decision that was made prior to my arrival.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Commission Chairman David Dennis. And another topic I'd like to talk about this morning is the Interest Bank Arena.
Absolutely.
Several years ago, the public had a vote and won. I think we passed it 51% to 49 or something, just barely. But it seems to me like it's been a pretty good deal so far. What do you think?
I think the Intrust Bank Arena brings in more people from more areas than just about anything other than possibly our Sedgwick County Zoo. The Intrust Bank Arena, again, was something that commissioners before I got there made the decision to provide as an amenity. It draws people in. It's quality of life for the folks that are here. And we have great things coming. You know, we've got Alan Jackson coming for those that love country music. We just announced here a week ago that George Strait is coming in January. And as a matter of fact, tickets go on sale tomorrow for anyone that wants to buy tickets to George Strait. So we had the NCAA tournament here. Yep. We've had some of the largest audiences ever in the history of Intrust Bank Arena just within the last couple months. So it is a great draw.
And I took my wife to see Paul McCartney there, and it was the high point of her life, even more important than our wedding, because she was a huge Beatles fan, and he puts on one heck of a show.
He did. I had the opportunity.
Did you know?
I went back in the USSR at the end of his set. Was fantastic.
Now let's talk a little bit about more about public safety. Are you pleased with what you see in the sheriff's department?
We've got a great sheriff. Jeff Easter has been a fantastic addition, and we've had a history of great sheriffs. So right now, his biggest problem, truly, is trying to find deputies to fill his detention slots.
Yep, as we discussed earlier. What about deputies? Is he getting enough deputies in the field?
In the field, we're not having as much problem recruiting, and as I said, we changed some of the pay scales recently. So we're pretty well full up in the field.
Okay.
It's the ones in detention that we're really trying to find.
Is the county facing a challenge for space for the courts, for the district attorney's office, the sheriff's office? I see something about that?
Absolutely.
What's going on there?
The district attorney is out of space right now. And in addition, it looks like the Supreme Court may notify us in the near future that we need to add more courtrooms and more judges to the 18th Judicial District. So as a result, we made a decision here last summer that we're going to renovate the adult detention center, add some offices over there so that we can move some of the sheriff's offices out of the courthouse and over to the adult detention center, which is right behind the courthouse. That frees up some of the space that we can move some of the attorneys from the DA's office into the main courthouse. The attorneys, if you get a chance, go tour where the DA's office is, because he's got people in little tiny cubby holes. They're using storage facilities for offices right now.
Now, that building, that's a county building, I'm thinking it was constructed in the early 50s.
Yes, it was.
You know what year it was? 54?
Yes, I think 54 is correct.
Was there any talk about just taking a big bulldozer and knocking it down, putting another one up?
We don't need that building. Is got very strong bones, and it's a good building.
Oh, is it a good building? Okay.
What we may need to do is look at a campus type situation, and if you look at the north side of our building, is where the DA's office is, and sometimes we call that the annex.
We
may have to knock the annex down and build another building beside it to house our administrative offices, and then we can move all of the DA, the courts, into the main courthouse.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your fire department, Sedgwick County Fire Department. Tell me about them. What do you think of the fire department there?
I am definitely sold on our first responders, especially our fire. Just had an opportunity about a week ago to go through fire training 101. Where that they suited us up in the entire outfit that the firefighters wear, including the air pack on our back. We're carrying about 70 pounds of weight. We went in and we performed CPR on an individual, a dummy, for about 10 minutes. On mine, we saved the individual.
Good for you.
From there, we went over and got to suit up with the face masks and the air packs and went into a trailer house that was full of smoke. You could not see your hand in front of your face. We went in pairs and rescued some dummies, some individuals, and had to bring them out to safety, which is a definitely frightening experience, knowing you can't see anything and you're doing everything by feel. We got to use their jaws of life to cut up a couple cars. And rescue some folks out of those. And then they have some shipping containers that they've modified so that you can go in and fight a real fire. And, you know, the fire is about 450 degrees and flames are rolling over the top of your head. You're dragging a hose into that around corners, and we actually got to put fires out. So I got to see firsthand for one day what they do every single day, what kind of training that they go through. So I am very pleased with our fire department.
You know, when I talk about first responders and response times, this community, I can remember when I first got into the radio business in Wichita, we did not really have an ambulance service. It was a private provider. And now we have, as I understand it, this is our response team. We're among the best in the country. That's what I've heard anyway. How about you?
We are one of just a handful of EMS ambulance services that are certified nationally, and we respond across the entire county. There are a couple volunteer ambulance services, but they're pretty well going by the wayside, and we're taking them over step by step. We just picked up Mount Hope here recently. Our ambulance service is second to none.
Now, you're in the budget writing process. I suppose that pretty much goes on year-round. But what are you seeing in the year ahead as far as spending, revenue challenges? Have you got enough money coming in? You going to raise taxes 30%? What are you going to do?
Well, right now, we started our budget discussions back actually in February. This past week, every single day, we've been in budget discussions almost all day. What we're looking for right now is that the manager will recommend a budget to us on July the 17th. We'll hold public hearings on July 24th and on August 5th, and then we'll adopt the budget for 2020 on August 7th. Mm-hmm. Where we're at right now, from the briefings we received yesterday, we're probably, if we set the budget right now, we'd have a deficit of about $1.3 million without raising any taxes. We do have a reserve that we could operate on. I hate deficit spending, but we're going to have to look at all aspects because one of the things that we're facing also is that the commission before us, they set a mill levy cap on the county. We're the only government in the state of Kansas that has a mill levy cap, and so a little over 29 mills is our mill levy. We're the second lowest at 29 mills in the entire state of Kansas. But that mill levy cap is what may force us into deficit spending.
Oh, well. By the way, you're talking about the new county manager, Tom Stoltz. How's he doing?
Tom Stoltz is absolutely fantastic. We're very pleased and proud that he is our new manager.
What areas does the county deal with the state of Kansas? The courts, I'm sure, and the DA. But do you come into contact with the state very much?
Well, the state provides an awful lot of funding for various aspects. One of the biggest issues that we have right now, and it was our number one issue on our legislative agenda last year, is behavioral health. We have a behavioral health problem across the nation, actually, right now, but it affects us because we're the largest city in the state of Kansas. We're trying to get a facility built here for a regional mental health facility. Because currently, if we have a problem, we have to try and get them into Larned. Larned is completely understaffed, or we try and get them into Osawatomie. We have backlog trying to get into either one of those organizations. If we could have a regional mental health facility, we could start putting people into a mental health facility to treat them. But what we're doing right now is we're putting them in jail. And that's not where they belong. We need to try and work with the state to help alleviate that problem.
Well, how's the county's infrastructure, roads and bridges? How are we on that?
On the infrastructure, we maintain 603 bridges and 600 miles of road. Today is a bad day for you to ask that, because yesterday we had, as a result of the rains, we had a box culvert that washed out on Ridge Road up by Sedgwick. But I think we have some of the best roads of any county around, because we maintain them. If we go in through and we touch every single road every 6 years, and we continuously replace our bridges, and we have the third highest number of bridges of any county in the nation.
We do?
Yes.
That's kind of surprising. We hear a lot about transparency in government. What does that mean to you? What is transparency?
Transparency is making sure that we let the public know exactly what we're doing, and we try and do that every single day. And that's why we have staff meetings that are televised. Our board meetings are televised. If we go into executive session, it's for purchase of land, or that we want to make sure that negotiations aren't known, so we tip our hand, or it's some kind of a personnel issue, those type of issues. But in the end, it does come out because we have to make a decision on, say, purchase of land or a personnel issue, we can't make those decisions in executive session. We need to make them out at our board meeting and put in front of the public.
What are the biggest challenges in serving as a county commissioner?
Biggest challenge right now that we have, we've actually got three big issues. I already mentioned behavioral health. That's a big concern. Transportation, you mentioned infrastructure a little bit. The North Junction is a huge concern. Right now we're in the construction process of the first phase. At the end of that first phase, which is already causing heartburn and heartache on the commuters, we won't have solved the problem at the North Junction yet, but it sets us up so that we can. And we're working, trying to get funding for the second phase of the North Junction. And we've already touched on it briefly, but our third issue is workforce development, because we have to have the workforce in order to be able to fill the jobs.
Being a county commissioner, what are the biggest rewards? What are your payoffs? What gets you motivated to go down there every day?
Well, what motivates me is the same thing that's motivated me in my entire career, and it's public service. And that's why I served 29 years in the military. That's why I taught at North High School. It's why I was on the state board, and why I'm doing this, is that the nice thing and the thing that really excites me about Sedgwick County is that we touch people's lives every single day. It doesn't matter if we've got a fire truck going out, putting out a fire and saving people, our EMS going out and transporting people, our 911 getting them to the right place, our public works building roads that they can travel on, our health department, our ComCare that's treating folks that have crisis issues. We are taking care of people every single day.
Well, listen, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We appreciate it. Have you come back here in a few months, maybe, and talk again.
Sounds good. We've got a lot to talk about.
Could we do that sometime?
We can do that.
Our guest is Sedgwick County Commission Chairman David Dennis, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.